we've been in the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to be in it again today. The series kind of started with the disciples asking Jesus, teach us to pray. They watched him and saw something in him that teach us to pray. And he gave them the Lord's Prayer. We have two renditions of it, if you would call it, from Luke and Matthew. We're using Matthew to get a little bit more detail to it. But it's we've been taking different phrases at a little bit at a time. We're gonna be looking at Nancy's song she picked, fits right with what we'll be talking about. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as is in heaven. And we say that, it's a simple prayer. Let your kingdom come. There's a lot behind that little phrase that we'll look at in a little bit. We touched on it from the very beginning, talking about the kingdom of God as a context for the whole prayer. But here's this, he tells them to ask for it to come. And we're going to look at what that means and some of the beliefs and the values of Jesus that really shaped his prayer life and his request and his whole life and how it should affect us. In fact, this concept of your kingdom come really, for me, a friend Mark, who's passed away now, really gave me some teaching on this and understanding that we looked at it, that really clarified to me the Gospels. It let me read the Gospels completely different and see Jesus in a whole other light based on this idea of the kingdom come. And I hope that I can actually open a share a little bit of that this morning and it gives you a bit of what Jesus is trying to have us understand here by what he's asking us to pray. Well, let's pray this together. And we say this prayer. I mean, I can say 100 miles an hour. A lot of us can, but if there's something here, we pray. But let's do a little bit of time slow and just think about the words we're saying and what we've already talked about so far, even what, you know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And as we look at this, the rest of it, but let's just read it. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That was really the kingdom was Jesus' central message. We talked about that already. And here he tells them, you guys, this is what you should do when you're praying. Ask for God's kingdom to come. So what was he saying when he said that? When he thought of the kingdom coming, they thought there was going to be a culmination of this age, it was going to end. And all the evil would be vanquished, and it would be a cataclysmic event. The Jewish people saw this age would come to close and a new age would begin, a future age, where God's kingdom would come, all wickedness, all evil would be gone, and God's reign would be complete in its fullness. So they're hearing Jesus say, this is what you should do. Ask the Father to have that kingdom come. So was he saying have the future come, like the end finally happened? I guess in some ways he's asking them to ask for it to come. But he was asking that same kingdom, that rule that you're expecting that's going to happen in the future age. Ask for it to come right now, right here, right where you're standing in this moment in time, in this space, in the context of your life. And change it. That God's will in heaven, like it is in heaven, like it's going to be in the future. Let it be right now on earth. So we're talking about going back to the future, you know, that movie. Really, this is what he's saying. He's the essence. Really, it's like it's having the future break in before it's actually here. And for a moment. And it doesn't come in its fullness yet. What we see in Jesus' life, it started showing up. Jesus walked up to, hey, the crippled man, hey, get up. They walk. The blind person would see. See, in that moment, there's not going to be any sickness or blindness in heaven. He was asking for the kingdom. It broke in that moment. It came in teaching. It came in a life of obedience. It came in multiplication of food to people. Provision. All those things were part of it. And that was what he was at telling them. So they watched him. Jesus was probably constantly, I don't know if he used these words, we use these words in English, so I don't know how he would have said it, but we're going to that. They actually said prayer in the end. We're going to talk about prayer in Acts chapter 4. They don't use these words, but the same meanings there. You see it. Let your kingdom come, is what they're asking God to do. And so so I would see him, he's out looking for the kingdom to come and asking for it to come. And so we saw it in Jesus' ministry, and he's asking them to be the same way. And so what I want to do is, we're going to go to the next scripture today. We're going to look at a story talking about the substance behind what Jesus is saying here. And this little prayer, little phrase, there's so much of the kingdom coming. Your will in heaven be done on earth. Or maybe even say, done in this earth, the vessel. See, it starts with us. We're asking God's rule to come, and it actually affects me.
Right.
We're made of the earth.
Right.
That in this earthen life here, my will becomes his will, not my will. But yours is done. We're saying that. We really mean it. That's what this is saying. It's that your kingdom come. We're asking God to reshape our whole will. It's in us first. But here's behind this is this story of Jesus. And I love this story. It was when Jesus was 12 years old. I maybe get into it and go off on a tangent. But this is Joseph and Mary, his mom and dad, or his stepdad, if you want to call him that, his earthly dad he had, and Mary and Jesus come to Jerusalem for the Passover. He's about 12 years old, his son. They come to celebrate, and the place is filled with family, and everybody comes to Jerusalem to celebrate it. And as it's ending, they pack up with family and everybody in a caravan to leave Jerusalem. And Jesus' parents think, oh, he's just with one of the other family members. So they take off on a trek to start heading home. And after a day, they realize Jesus isn't with them. He stayed behind. He's hanging out still in Jerusalem. Now, imagine you being Joseph and Mary. You lost the Son of God. You know that God gave you this promise. Said, hey, I'm giving you this son. This is the promise. They're like us. No, they're holding it now. They're like, oh, we'll be friends. No. I'm sure they were frantic. You know, it says they're distressed over it. So they go back and they look for him for 3 days before they find him. Imagine that, not finding your son for 3 days, let alone the one promise that God shows up and says, you're going to have a baby and you're not. You can have it by the power of the Holy Spirit. That whole thing, they find him after 3 days. And 3 days, and we're going to look at, here's their response when they finally find him. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. I wonder why. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And Jesus said to them, why are you looking for me? Imagine Jesus, you say, what are you doing? He's like, why are you looking for me? Why are you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? His father was looking for him. He's talking to one of the father. He understands something about his life. In this response about the kingdom and who he's a part of and who he's connected to, who he really has as his father, it's the Father in heaven. You see, even at a young age, and they don't know, you know, they might not know why he's there, but Jesus knows. He says, didn't you know? That's what he thought they should know where he would be. Get that? So it tells you, they knew, they had talked to him about who he was. So there's an understanding, there's a family. What happens if you had your child? Anybody has children, you're like, you're the greatest. You're talking to them, you're encouraging them, you're speaking words of affirmation always to them. That's what you do. What do you think Joseph and Mary did? Especially since they knew who he was. They're talking to him. So here, he understands who he is. He's wondering why they don't, because he's like, what do you know? And so he's surprised at their question, he's surprised at their distress, and he expected his parents to know that he was set apart for this. It's obvious he knows. And he's given himself he knows what he's called to. Now, I think of it, it's just like he could have, I mean, there's a couple of reasons why he could have known. The Holy Spirit showed him, you know, in a relationship. I mean, his mom and dad were, for some reason, God chose them. But we think that they were religious, they were devout, and so they knew the scriptures. They would have been teaching them traditionally, the Jewish people would have spoke of the promises of the kingdom coming.
And so they knew he would have known the Old Testament promises. I'm sure they would have said, "Do you know how you were conceived? By the power of the Holy Spirit." He's starting to understand this. And Joseph, "I had this dream, and God confirmed to me." Remember, we had these stories. We had these stories of Jesus, of Joseph and Mary, how God spoke to them. You think, "Oh, we can't tell Jesus now." I don't know what you got. We don't know. But we can assume a variety of things that I'm thinking is a combination between both. But Jesus knows who he is. But it's not just like he knows. Actually, I forget, right? It depends on the translation. It might read, "I must be about my Father's business." That's another translation. He says that way. And so it's not just about being my Father. It's about his Father's business. What was his Father's business? Rescuing the world. This is Father's business. He's in the business of recovering everything that's been lost, right? Jesus is on a mission. So, I got to be about my Father. At 12 years old, he's saying, "I must be." Maybe I should. Maybe tomorrow if I play football or basketball. No, I must right now. I have to be about my Father's business. That's what I've been created for. And he understood that. And he's saying that word, "I must." And it really strikes me is that must. And as we're thinking about how he would have understood who he was, let's go to the next scripture. And I want you to read, we're going to read this. This is from Psalm 139. As I read this, think of it also as Jesus. Like, if he knows who he is, he would have been reading the Psalms.
That's right.
You know, he would have understood the Psalms. This was one, as he knows that he was formed in his mother's womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to understand your life, my life, us, not just individually, but actually read this corporately. The church is the body of Christ in the world. The body of Christ as a whole, too. Let's read this scripture now. "For you formed my inward parts, you knit me together in my mother's womb." Imagine Jesus reading that. He knows. God is the one that shaped him in his mother's womb. Do you know that God is the one that shaped you in your mother's womb? There's no mistakes. It was intentional. God had a plan for your life, just like he did for Jesus. "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, set apart." You are set apart. You were made. I mean, sometimes we think like, "Well, why did you make me like this?" And we have different things we don't like about ourselves. God has a purpose in our weaknesses and in what we think are not right. God has a plan in all of that. "Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." We don't even understand. Sally said she's praising God for how God's working in her children's life here. You know, so also we don't know when God's kingdom's going to break in and actually change something. And sometimes we think, "God, what are you doing?" But we finally just get back and we say, "Wonderful. Wonderful are your works, oh God." That's how we should be seeing this and understand. I want you to see Jesus' life, how we understood the kingdom in his prayer, "Let the kingdom come." We have to see it in light of for us. This is for us. He wanted the disciples to see this for them and for us to see this. This is us. "My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret. Intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them." To see God's thoughts towards us. And the thing, not just our own self, but just think of the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. He saw the unformed shape of what she would be in the very end. We don't understand it. Sometimes we don't understand how God is working on things, but God sees the end, and he's using all of it for his glory. And he wants to see the wonder of it all. And Jesus saw it in his own personal life, and we need to see it in our own personal life also. And in John chapter 13, it's not in here, scripture, but it's where Jesus washes their feet. But beforehand, it says Jesus knew where he came from. He knew where he was going. And then he took the towel and he became a servant. He understood from where he came, where he's going. He knew who he was. He knew whose he was. He knew what he was a part of, who he was a part of. And it allowed him to live a life completely different than everybody else. And that's for us to understand. In the kingdom, he knew who he was. We need to know who we are. Amen. As the Father's sons and daughters, we're his. We were shaped and made and created for him by him intentionally. As you look through the gospel, you actually see this sense of Jesus. If we look back to this, "I must be about my Father's business."
Now this is, we're going to go through the next ones here. This is actually a couple phrases. This, I just sampled a couple of parts of the gospel, and you see Jesus using this phrase often. I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of who? Him who sent me. We just say that's wrong. Jesus saying, as he comes to a point, I, this is what I came for. Not to do my will, but to his. I must be doing his will. I must preach. That's actually the way it's written. Luke 4:43. I must preach the good news to the kingdom of God in other places. I must suffer.
That's right.
He knows he's going to say, I must.
That's right.
I must go on the way today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. He understands, I have to go there. Even though he knows what's going to happen, I must. He's being moved by God to go. I have to do his will, not mine. I have to go to Samaria. When he went to see the woman there, that was a no-no for the Jewish people. I have to go there. The Spirit of this is Luke. This, you can go all the way up there. This is from Luke. It's from Isaiah 2, from Isaiah chapter 61. But here's Luke, and it's I'd added this part too. Something. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim the news. Before I start the other parts, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to do something. Not just to hang out.
That's right.
Not just to go to church service. Not just to pray. Not just to read our Bibles.
Yeah.
He's on us. He's in us. He's dwelling amongst us.
That's right.
To do something.
That's
it's
right.
Kingdom work. To do his will.
Amen.
And here he says, it's to proclaim good news, set me in liberty to captives, and cover the sight of the blind, set at liberty those oppressed, to proclaim the Lord's favor. So there's this idea. Jesus is always living in this sense of destiny. This sense of I have a purpose. And he wants us to. He wanted them to see that. He says, "Your kingdom come. It's coming. I'm a partner in that." And he was, so that's behind this prayer of let you know the cry of let the kingdom come. He has a sense of destiny of being set apart for that time and space he lived in. And Jesus chooses to embrace it and live with a sense of urgency and intentionality and allegiance to God's will. And he didn't do it like it's some weight or something like, oh, I've got to do this. No, it says he delighted in the Lord's will. It was his delight to do what the Father wanted. It was a joy to him. He understood the greater purpose of it all. And it's not just a sense of indifference. We hear the word destiny, we think like, oh, it's a destiny like we're getting somewhere. I have a destiny. I'm going to get to heaven. He's not talking. I'm not using that word destiny. Or we use like, I have a destiny like the American. I'm going to achieve the American dream. I'm going to get a degree. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to become famous. Right? There's this sense. That's not the destiny he's talking about. It's about living in a sense of this moment is intentionally God's moment for me where I'm at. Wherever we are, in whatever situation, today, tomorrow, the next day, next week, next year, it's living with the sense of destiny in the moment, in the now. That's how he lived his life. We see that in him. And so he calls us, he's saying, that's what he's saying, let your kingdom come. Not tomorrow so we can get there someday. He was saying, let your kingdom come right here. And you understood, I'm walking. So when we show up today, we're here. We walk in the door. I loved the other, a couple weeks ago, Glenda, I'm sorry for embarrassing you, Nancy, recognized somebody in the other church was a burden going on for them. And they're like, okay, they had talked about it, and I saw them go over. Guess what? They realized it was a kingdom moment.
That's right.
He was intentionally, they were there for that time and space.
That's right.
They went over and prayed for the lady. See, those are moments we have to be aware. We're living with a sense of destiny. Jesus was, wherever he was walking, he was like, okay, I only have destiny on Sunday morning when I go to synagogue. No. That's not. He was walking down the street. He was fully aware of his surroundings, of the people, and of the Father, what the Father was doing, and he had a partnership with the Father. That's what I mean, living with a sense of destiny. And he was there to say, let your kingdom come. Let it break in here. He didn't determine and tell God what the kingdom should be. He watched what the Father was doing and then asked and invited him. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's what he's telling them to do. Live with that kind of sense of being aware of where you are, who you are. So Jesus understood that and embraced this partnership. And he was fully present. Fully present.
Didn't know all the parents did know.
I talked to Dave after the bonfire. He goes, you're really quiet tonight, Ken.
And like, you're okay? And I guess I wasn't fully present. Because I wasn't. I was distracted a bit. What happens? That happens to us at times. But Dave was fully present to be aware of me in that moment. Sometimes we're not going to be always full. We're human. We're going to lose it. We're going to be, you know, sometimes sick, sometimes just distracted. But being aware all the time, trying to be a sense of we have a destiny in this moment together. And so that's what Jesus is getting at here. He says, I must be. So he lived. So tomorrow, I want to challenge you. Get up with these words. I must.
I must.
I must be about my Father's business today. He guaranteed me this day. Right now I have it. I rejoice, this is the day the Lord has made, and I should live with I must. And have a sense like, God, what's going on? What's your story? See, sometimes we think about our stories unfolding. We're asking God, help me get my story accomplished.
No.
Jesus didn't. He said, your will be done. See, Jesus' story is unfolding all around us. And he's actually created us for this moment to be in the story as a partner with him. And he's wanting us to ask for the kingdom to come so his will that's in heaven and for that moment will become his will here on earth. That make sense?
Amen.
That's how Jesus lived. He walked his life that way, and the disciples did. And so he's calling them to do it. And what we see is that's how Jesus lived. I'm getting way off track. Oh, this is good. Oh, but the early church, they started living that way. And I want to look at a couple quick examples of this here. In the book of Acts, the disciples, after the pouring out of the Spirit, you see that they actually recognize who they are. They understand they're in a moment. That moment, wherever they are, they start, when we read them, they're living in the sense of this is God's moment, this destiny there that God has put them there. And there's this prayer movement. They're always praying together. They live with that sense, but in Acts chapter 2 is when what happens then? The Holy Spirit gets poured out. What happens? You know, fire comes down, fire, tongues of fire, they start speaking in tongues. They're like, wow, they're speaking the glories of God in our own language. They don't understand everything. There's confusion. That's all happening. And here, oh, this is for me, Dave.
Nope.
It's okay. In that moment, it's all unfolding. And I can just see that. Jesus said, how did Jesus tell us to pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your name be, your reputation, who you are, be holy in our lives as we live this out right now. Let your kingdom come. And they're asking for it. You're trying to figure out what's happening. I'm assuming. If it was me, and also that's happened to me, and I start talking in a whole other language, and I'm speaking, someone else is hearing me, and I know they're hearing me, and all that's happening. Peter's like, wait a minute, this is Joel, this is a God moment, this is convergence of time and God's word and people coming together all here in this moment. He recognized you, wait a minute, this is Joel. See, they start living with this sense of destiny. That was the moment. And when he sees it, he goes, wait a minute, you guys need to listen to this. This is God's hand, this is what God is doing. And he invites them to God. In that moment, they respond. See, they live with that sense of destiny. That's what we're supposed to do.
That's right. Amen.
And so that's what Jesus was teaching. That prayer was not just to say these words and walk away. It was actually not just to come to church or not come to the synagogue and not just to do devotions or bonfires. Whatever it is, it's not just those. It's like seeing in the midst of all what we're doing, God's story unfolding in the kingdom. We're supposed to be the agent that pray in and ask for it. And so they're doing it. And the next one is in Acts chapter 8, is when they walk by this gate so many times. I know, Jesus walked through that gate. And this man who is crippled, well, they never healed him prior to this. And then in chapter 4, at one point, Peter and John are going by, and then I can just, you know, imagine, God, what are you doing? What's going on? And in this moment, also, they see the man begging for the first time they recognize God's the guy that's working. Because they were taught by Jesus, do what the Father's doing. So they see the Father doing it, and they walk over and get up. And the crippled man is healed. And everybody gets excited. And as a result, guess what? Persecution comes. They get arrested, brought to the religious leaders, they're questioned, they're threatened, and that's all happening. And finally, they're released, and they go back to the group.
And they're, so in that moment, see, they recognize in that moment, this is God's destiny right here. This is for us to be here and ask for the kingdom to come. We don't have, we have silver and gold right now, but what we have, we're going to give to you. Here's the kingdom. Boom, get up. It happens. You say, oh, I could never do that. Yeah, you could. If it's a God moment, you can do that. Just as they did, we can do that too. Now, they go on, and they go back to the crowd after the release. We're going to go back to the next scripture today. This is the prayer I was telling you about. It's not the Lord's Prayer, but in it, you see some thoughts of the Lord's Prayer. They're asking for the kingdom to come, just like Jesus has taught them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voice, they come back, and they told the crowd, the church, there were churches there. But I want us to understand, the Jesus followers, this community of living people that were gathering together in love with Jesus and each other, looking to live in a sense of destiny for God's kingdom to come. That's the group. They come back, they tell them what's happening, and they're like, okay, let's pray. That's what they do. They lifted their voices together to God, said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and earth and the sea and everything in it. Sounds like, our Father who art in heaven. Right? It's a recognition of that. Who through the mouth of Father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against his anointed. Good, they did. For truly, in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed before Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. What would it say in recognition of that? Your kingdom. Your will, as it is in heaven, was done on earth. So you're recognizing that in the life of Jesus, and all of that has transpired so far. God, you're sovereign. You have done this. And they recognize this even as they're praying. So they help us. When they pray for what they're asking God to do, guess what they're saying? Your will be done. We recognize that, so we should too. And here, that's they're praying. And then say, and now, Lord, look upon the threats and grant your servants. Look upon the threats. Deliver us from evil. So he's not the same words, but the same thoughts are here in the midst of that. And grant your servants to continue to speak your word with boldness. While you stretch out your hand and heal, signs, wonders, performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus, what are they asking for that? Let your kingdom come and do some kingdom stuff. Just like you did when you walked around. Heal the people. The blind people can see again. They're asking for the kingdom to break in. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. I just would like that to happen once.
Yeah.
You were praying, and we're done praying, and all of a sudden, place it's shaken by God. Even though it's not physically shaken, there are moments when we get shaken, when we can pray, and we realize God's on us. And we're shaken inside. By the kingdom coming to us.
Amen.
That's what it should be. We cry for the kingdom to come, he comes. Doesn't he say in Luke chapter 12, the Father delights to give his children the kingdom? And Jesus actually gave a picture of what the Father's like earlier. That's what we talked about earlier. He's trying to help to understand what the Father's like. So when you ask this, guess what? He's not saying, ask this and God's going to say, nah. No, he's going to show up. But sometimes it doesn't show up like we want. Sometimes we want someone to be healed. We want someone to be raised from the dead. I don't think I've ever told this story here. This one, trying to raise someone from the dead. A friend of ours passed away. And the first time, his wife calls us. And it's late at night. And he was a believer for a long time. He had walked away. And then he finally came back to his wife. Actually, she said, she never knew where he was. Came back, he had cancer. And he was about to die. And reconciliation happened. And she said, he's refusing for prayer. He doesn't want anybody to pray for him, but I want someone to come pray for him. And so three or four of us went to pray with him, for him, like midnight. And we walked in the room, like, we're praying for you. So we went in and prayed. We didn't know, nothing happened, nothing changed in the moment. And he hadn't been up, he hadn't eaten for days. And they're like, he's just, he's not going to live. You know, he hadn't eaten and drank in a while. And the next morning, she calls me up. He's making breakfast for us. about a week later, back to where he was. And in that time, though, some miracles really happened with his two daughters, too, in that process. And so we were praying for God's kingdom to come. And we thought it came, and he was going to be healed. But then he goes back to being sick, and next thing you know, he's on the verge of dying, and we're there at his last moments. And no one called anybody. God drew family members to the house. The house started filling up with people, family members and friends. Felt to come there. And they're there. A lot of Muslim unbelievers were in the room, and you could feel God's presence. It was like one of the most strongest I felt God was like there. The non-believers felt it. They asked, what is that? The wife leaves her husband's side. She's got to go to the doctor. She walks out and she goes, what you're feeling is God. He's here. Her husband passed away. She preached the gospel. The kingdom came. He became Christ. So we ask for the kingdom to come like Jesus did. We don't know how it's going to come, but I'm going to expect it to come. And we're called to be submissive to whatever God's kingdom purpose is in that moment. It's unfolding. Still hoping for the greatest. I am. And even after that, we tried to raise him from the dead. He was gone. He wasn't coming back. But God worked through all that that was happening. So that's what it taught me. Is that sometimes I'd be like, well, the kingdom didn't come. And I'm like, no, it did. I got to actually, you know, think about that for me. It came in ways I did not expect it. Or that I didn't want to. I wanted something else. And so we call for the kingdom. Let your will be done on earth. This is what it is. His will, not my will be done. Have your way, Lord. We just sang this song. And that's he was Jesus, lived that way. He talked to the church that way. They're crying out for it that way. They spoke the Lord in boldness and kept calling for it to happen, recognizing God's sovereignty over everything that was happening, and lived with a sense of destiny in the moment as they lived their life. That's what Jesus calls us to. Oh, Nancy, did you just bring this?
Nope.
Oh. There you go. I'm borrowing one.
No. You want
it back. So here's this. For such a time as this. Ever heard that phrase? For such a time as this, we should live like that today. Every moment is for such a time as this. You're here. You're alive. You're God's agent. You're his ambassador for that moment that you're living in the place you're living. Working, playing, shopping, wherever it is. And that's how they lived. And he calls us. So Jesus lived that way. He lived with, I must be about my Father's business. The church did. Now the question is, will we do you? Will we do that? Will we respond to God that way? And it's, what keeps us from living with that sense of destiny and urgency and allegiance to God's will? And I started wondering, there's a variety of things, but sometimes
young Christian, for years, I was like, I heard it preached, but I just didn't grasp it, what I'm saying right now. And there's a certain point, sometimes maybe you're here and you've heard it, but you've never really like, whoa, that's right now, I need that. I mean, that's what I'm supposed to be about. And there's a moment in time, maybe the Spirit of God is breaking in right now in your heart, and you're saying, like, that's my life, I have to do that. If that's what God's breaking in here. And sometimes we just don't know that that's the fullness of, we think it's about going to church. We do. We have fellowship. We talk to some people about Jesus here, but really, it's not the sense of really destiny in our life that God's got our life. And so sometimes it's that. Sometimes it's just the enemy's distracted and delude us and he's pulled our passion and heart to the other things, other allegiances for a season. And maybe it's the time we recognize and cut cords to that other allegiance and come back to Jesus' kingdom. And sometimes there's things of, and this is some of what relates to me and Nancy. Sometimes it's some of the circumstances of life that steal it away sometimes. Sometimes it's an illness. It's not life threatening, but it's life altering. And we deal with it in different ways. And we wrestle through all that. And we get distracted for a season. Or sometimes we lose a job. Sometimes we lose a business. Sometimes we lose a friend. Or we lose a spouse or a child. You know, there's a variety of things that come in our life. But you know what? Even in that, God's involved in it. It's not outside of his sovereign plan. And sometimes we have to walk through that hard season, and God brings us out of it. And maybe that's for you, some of you that are here. But
I believe the Father's inviting us to see the kingdom differently in this life of being a follower of Jesus in light of this sense of destiny. And he's inviting us to be a part of it. And, but we have to understand something. It has some implications. If you're going to say, let your will be done. We're going to say, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth or in earth. Right here. There's some implications to that request if you're really going to really say that and really mean it. And it starts, first of all, with our own life. In understanding it. Remember the last time we talked about this, hallowed be your name? That your lifestyle, your life, and all that you're involved in, hallows his name is an expression of the Father, the kingdom, his real, true character. So when we say, let your kingdom come, we're saying, also, let my life, my life becomes that kind of lifestyle. So it becomes something about living a life of righteousness becomes a priority. My life and my values and my priorities start to reorient around the greater awareness of Christ all the time. His bigger kingdom story that's unfolding around me, and I start to see and understand and embrace my partnership in that relationship with the Father, and I start living fully aware in this moment. So my question is, are you going to respond to this? Jesus gave them this prayer. You want to learn how to pray? It's not just about saying words. It's about life behind the prayer. And the prayer is going to affect your life. First of all, let your kingdom come right here. In me, and then through me. And you mean that, he's inviting us to pray.